What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
It's been 655 days since October 7th, 2023. Tens of thousands of Palestinians have been murdered. According to the Palestinian Health Ministry, that number is 59,219 people with 143,045 injured, but we know the numbers are higher. This is an undercount. We've spent most of the Mondays on Law and Disorder over the last 655 days doing Palestine posts, where we spend a full hour on Palestine coverage. Today is not Monday, and this is not Palestine Post, but we are going to spend the hour covering Palestine. We're doing this in part because we should be talking about the genocide every single day, but also because I didn't get to talk to Monday's guests about the very disturbing headlines in terms of where the starvation crisis has gone. In Gaza, we have moved way past the point of the sentiment that mass death by starvation is coming. Mass death by starvation is here. Joining me to discuss, as well as to take a deeper dive into how food and starvation are being used as weapons, is Ziad Abbas Shamrukh, the executive director of the Middle East Children's Alliance, or MECCA. He's also a Palestine refugee from a camp in the West Bank. Good morning, Ziad.
Good morning, Kat.
Before we start our conversation, I actually want to run this news report. According to the World Food Program, nearly a third of Gaza's population is going several days without food, and 470,000 people are expected to face the most severe levels of hunger between May and September this year. Hospitals in Gaza are overwhelmed as record numbers of starving Palestinians seek emergency care, the health ministry says. KPFA's Rami Almagari filed this report from Gaza.
Here at Ma'madani Hospital in Gaza's Old City, medical staff continue to receive wounded patients daily due to ongoing Israeli bombardments and airstrikes. This is happening amid a severe shortage of medical supplies, as Israel has heavily restricted the entry of humanitarian aid into Gaza. One of the most recent strikes hit an ancient Catholic church, killing two displaced Christians and injuring several others. Shadi Abu Dawood, a Christian resident of Gaza, was among 400 people sheltering there when two of his family members were wounded in the attack.
Right after our usual morning prayer, we gathered in the church courtyard. Suddenly a shell hit the church and shrapnel flew everywhere. My mother was struck in the head and my son was also injured, along with seven others. We are displaced people, innocent, peaceful civilians with no ties to any side. This was a criminal act, an unjustified act carried out by the occupation. How can they target civilians and churches?
The Al-Ma'madani Hospital in eastern Gaza City and Al-Shifa Hospital in the west are the two main hospitals still operating in the city. They continue to receive dozens of patients each day from both Gaza City and the northern Gaza Strip. But they are working under extremely difficult conditions, with severe shortages of medical supplies. Dr. Ahmed Shabat from Al-Ma'madani Hospital explains.
Frankly, we're doing everything we can with what little we have. The health sector as a whole is on the brink of collapse. There's a shortage of everything. No equipment, no beds, not even chest tubes for life-saving procedures. We're making enormous efforts with very limited resources. MRI scanners are completely out of service throughout the territory. The only functioning diagnostic equipment left in Gaza is at Al-Ma'madani Hospital. We're receiving a large number of patients referred from other hospitals like Al-Shifa and the public service facilities. Compared to what we have, the number of cases is overwhelming.
Al-Shifa Hospital in western Gaza City is constantly struggling with the fuel shortages. Ziad Abu Hamidan is the hospital's technical chief.
We have two oxygen plants here, along with two water wells. All of this requires power 24 hours a day. While we have a large generator, we can't use it regularly due to fuel shortages. Instead, we rely on smaller, more fuel-efficient generators, which we run for limited hours and only for departments that provide life-saving care. That includes the intensive care units, both moderate and large, as well as the operating theaters and emergency rooms. As for the kidney dialysis unit, we've had to reduce operating hours. For example, patients who normally require 4 hours of dialysis are now receiving just 2.5. Those who need 3 hours are now down to only 2 hours, or even just 1.5. These cuts are purely to cope with the current fuel crisis. We've also had to shut down the oxygen plants for several hours, asking medical staff to use whatever is available to resort to manual oxygen production. But this reduces the amount of oxygen patients receive, putting their lives at serious risk.
Last week, the World Health Organization delivered fuel to hospitals in Gaza, but according to local authorities, only 70,000 liters made it into the territory. For short of the 270,000 liters needed each day to keep critical services running. Since March 18, when the Israeli army broke a two-month ceasefire citing alleged breaches by Hamas, all hospitals in the northern Gaza Strip have gone out of service. Currently, the two key facilities still operating, Al-Mamadani and Al-Shifa hospitals, are serving more than 800,000 Palestinians, including many displaced from northern Gaza due to ongoing Israeli military operations and ground invasions. For Pacifica Radio, KPFA, I am Rami Al-Mirari, in Gaza.
Again, our guest this morning to talk about the starvation crisis in Gaza is Ziad Abbas Shamrouk, Executive Director of the Middle East Children's Alliance, or MECCA. Ziad, what brought me to wanting to have this conversation this week was a headline from Sunday when I was preparing for Monday's Palestine Post. And the headline was from Al Jazeera. It said, 116 Palestinians murdered. That's a pretty common headline these days. 100-plus people a day are being slaughtered by Israel. But the second half of the headline said a 35-day-old baby dies of starvation. And I'm sure this wasn't the first baby to die of starvation, but it was the first major headline I read. From your perch, the work that you do, can you talk about how the starvation crisis has upticked, the devastation has increased over the last few weeks?
Yes, it's devastating news, absolutely. According to the reports coming from Gaza, including Rami report and many other reports coming from other resources, according what we hear from our staff in the ground in Gaza Strip, what we hear from other friends, Israel is forcing thousands of Palestinians in Gaza to choose between death by starvation or gunfire. This is the fact, this is the reality in Gaza Strip right now. And the people, they need to make their own choice. What people, they are collapsing in the streets. And here I'm speaking about adults. I'm not speaking about children or babies. They need special food. They need special care. And these numbers, actually, what you ever mentioned in your report, these numbers will be doubled and tripled the coming few days if there is no intervention to stop what's going on in Gaza. This is a war crime. It's very clear. It's very simple for the rest of the world. There is no argument about it. Israel is weaponizing the food, weaponizing the medicine, weaponizing everything, all the life supplies, the life-saving supplies. And they are using it in the way that they try to put on the people pressure, where they direct them to military food distribution, and there they kill them by gunfire, or they suffer from starvation. This is the reality we are facing. And I was speaking with one of our colleagues yesterday, actually last night late, and he said, this is the question received from his children. Are we going every morning, like, are we going to eat today? What will happen? At the same time, over 100 organizations, humanitarian and relief organizations, they published strong statements, came out, including our signed by over 100 organizations, including ours, Middle East Children's Alliance, and demanding and clarifying what's going on in Gaza and warning the world that what's going on in Gaza day by day, actually, and hour by hour, people, they are losing their lives as a result of the mass starvation inside Gaza, as a result of the blockade, as a result of urbanizing food inside Gaza Strip. For us at Middle Eastern Alliance, we are still able to do some work there in Gaza Strip. Of course, we cannot receive any kind of trucks to get to our kitchens on the ground to do what we usually do doing since the beginning of this genocide. But we are working in water, try to distribute water, collecting the garbage from the displaced camp, try our clinics to work, building bathrooms for people. They are displaced and moving from place to place. But this is not enough. This is not helping. If you are missing the basic needs like the food, like the water, the clean water, and like the medicine, the possibility for the people of Gaza to survive, it's become very limited. And this is where the threat is coming. Unfortunately, the world until now not reacting to stop this genocide. And it's not just by the Israeli military actions every day. My friend, he told me, he's in Shatta refugee camp. The drones, it's like, you go to sleep, you hear them around your house. You wake up, if you look from the window, you see the drones. It's like watching you 24 hours. And these drones, they are the other threat targeting the people inside the street. At the same time, the people, they don't have a choice. Every day they want to wake up when the sun just shines, the people, they try to look around where they can find the food, how they can find the food for one day to serve their goals. He told me about, he has three daughters, that they have like just half meal a day to help them to survive and to live their day. This is the reality of Gaza Strip right now. Hospitals, they are absolutely overwhelmed, and right now it will be overwhelmed. More numbers. The numbers will be doubled because the people try to reach out to the hospital because they are already starved to death, at the same time dehydrated. They need the medicine, they need the liquids, and especially for babies. Like yesterday, I was reading about like the dialysis department in the Shifa Hospital. It's out of service. And many people, as a result of the food and what they are facing in their daily life, many kidney disease. And if this department shut down, it's many possibilities for the people to die. My friend, he lost his mom. His mom is like 64 years old. And just for simple things, she cannot reach out to the dialysis department. And she died. She passed away. In normal situation, this is... people, they can survive many years on that. Just they go, they do to the hospital one time a week or two times a week, and they will live their life. Mm-hmm. But these are kind of threat that the people, they are facing. I know the numbers, they are documented by people killed and shot by the Israelis, or the people, they are killed by the mass starvation. But there are other causes that the people already die. These people not documented. And here I am like, try to be clear. These people, they consider they died from natural causes or disease, but in fact, they are not able to get the medicine they need it. And they are part of this genocide. They are killed. They are not just died because they cannot access the medicine they need. And this is the fact we are living day by day inside Gaza Strip.
I mean, Ziad, you mentioned dialysis. I was just texting with my father, you know, who's here in America, of course, and he's at dialysis, right? Something that we take for granted in terms of a service that our folks can get. And these are the kinds of interruptions to care that have been ongoing, right? The folks with medical conditions that require ongoing medical care, some folks that were traveling to Israel to get that care prior to October 7th, 2023, have absolutely been cut off. And there's story after story from families of their loved ones passing away because they couldn't get medicine, they couldn't get treatment. Ziad, you mentioned in your response, you talked about, you know, adults that are falling out in the street because of lack of water and lack of food.
And that you're not talking about children because children are different. And I want to spend some time talking about the children and how starvation impacts them. Their bodies are weaker. Their organs are still developing. So it's a different horrific journey for them. Yes?
Absolutely. Children in Gaza Strip simply, they ask their families, and actually it was published in the statements coming from over 100 organizations, that children, they ask their families, they prefer to go to the heaven because in heaven there is a food and they can eat. And this is something impact the children and in every aspect of their life. And as I remember, like Howard Zinn, he said, every war is a war against children. And the most impacted people in this kind of wars or genocide is the children. Impact them in physically, impact them psychologically, and traumatize them. And of course, Gaza Strip, I am in Gaza Strip right now. And we as Mecca, we are working there for a long time. And Gaza faced different kind of attacks. In 2008, 2009, 2012, 2014, 2018, 2021, and now 2023 until now, ongoing genocide. And you children, they never had the chance to treat them and to have the time to treat them very well, especially from trauma. Children in Gaza, like everyone in Gaza, and most of Palestinian in general, what we call it accumulated trauma. They are building up inside them, destroying. And I'm a Palestinian too, but it's not about me, it's about them. I am 60 years old. I was born and grew up in a refugee camp. We suffered, but not like what the people they are facing right now in Gaza Strip. And still, I have my own nightmares coming from my childhood and the way how I grew up in the refugee camp. And still, I need to deal with that. Imagine that it's happening, not this. Imagine that with the children in Gaza right now, 22 months, they are not able, only for during the ceasefire where they had some quiet times, like they cannot hear the drones or they cannot hear the bombing and the shelling. And for them, it's like my friend, he was saying, hey, we don't know for how long this honeymoon, he considered it like a honeymoon, they are living, that no bombing, no shooting in January, end of January when they had the ceasefire, but they are retained back. Now, the background, the sound of the life of the people and the children in Gaza Strip, it's the bombing, the shelling, the smell of all these kind of smells inside Gaza Strip. I can't describe it, but they speak about it all the time. It's in their background and the sound, and they grow up in this reality. We are losing the childhood. And here we speak about the majority of the people in Gaza Strip, they are already children. You speak about almost 50% of the people in Gaza Strip, they are below 18 years old. And right now, the babies, they are killed as a result of the mass starvation. And I was reading this report before I am coming to you, and the numbers, it's not that much clear for us, but minimum 85 children killed as a result of that. And the number of the people, they are dying as a result of the mass starvation, it's growing up. Over 110 people, they are already killed as a result of the mass starvation. And these numbers will be doubled because right now the people collapsing in the street, children, they are not able to move and to work. The vitamins, we in our work in the regular days, even part of this genocide, we used to distribute vitamins for children. We used to distribute special meals for children. They are facing, very weak immune system. Now we are not able to do that. And this is the tragedy that all children in Gaza Strip, they are facing that. And this generation, even when you say childhood, I don't think so. There is any kind of childhood in Gaza Strip right now. In Gaza, everyone is treated like in the same way. And the impact of children, it will hit the Palestinian and it hit every child until the end of their life. Who will survive this genocide? And who that will stay with them for the rest of their life. It will impact their life physically and mentally. It's not possible for us to have any kind of analysis or database to control and to do that. But it's very clear what the doctors, they are saying, what the psychologists, what our expertise in Gaza Strip, they are saying in very clear, a clear way. It's a catastrophe hit the people. Trauma is hitting everyone in Gaza, and especially in children. And this is actually, it's a shame. We are in 2025. It's a shame that the world, they are witnessing this. It's like a reality show. All these kind of footage is coming from Gaza every day. And the world is still not taking real action or intervention to stop that. And just to eliminate the number of the people dying every day.
Ziad, we talked about, you talked about earlier that you were a signatory, Mecca was a signatory, along with 99 other organizations, including folks like Doctors Without Borders, issuing a statement demanding accountability for Israel's forced starvation. I want to talk a little bit about Israel's propaganda right now. Israel responded that these orgs, the orgs that signed on this letter, are echoing the talking points of Hamas and harming the talks or chances for a ceasefire, and reiterated the lie, because I don't know what else to call it, that, you know, that there are boxes of food just, you know, waiting to be distributed any second now. And I just wondered if you could reflect on what Israel said, but also just the overarching impact of their propaganda and how you think that is impacting, even though it blows my mind that it could be impacting, the world's response.
Yeah, the Israelis since the beginning, like all the time, the upside, like they use their own lies to justify what they are doing. And even if we go back to the Israeli media itself, like there are many journalists, many writers, they speak about this. And even some people, from their own previous governments, they are speaking about what's going on in Gaza. It's like, it's very clear, it's a war crime, it's genocide, for the world, and no argument about that. It's not just about the international court or the international criminal court, blah, blah, all these kind of decisions. It's very clear for Israel, absolutely. They try to justify what they are doing for the Palestinian. It's not just they are not allowing the Palestinian to eat, to access food and to access for medicine. They are not allowing like hundreds of organizations to do the work they need to do as to support the people, like organization like us and like many other organizations, where United Nations, they were very clear yesterday. They were very clear in reports, actually, for a while right now. Their warehouses around Gaza Strip, they have enough food to help everyone in Gaza Strip for the coming 3 months. And this is the tragedy for us people working like relief organization side Gaza, our staff in the ground, that the people, they are dying just a few miles. They are not that much far from these food warehouses, from the milk, from the medicine, from everything. And just because the Israelis, they are weaponizing food and medicine and everything, they are coming right now to tell the world, all these humanitarian organizations, which many times, like I say, like, we are working in Gaza Strip since long time, over like 25 years in Gaza Strip, and many other international organizations, and they are working in different kind of in the world around catastrophes, and they are accusing them, they are connected, they're using the talking points like Hamas. No, it's very clear, Israel and the United States. Here, I don't want to speak about Israel without speaking about the support they are receiving from United States of America and from the European Union, because the European, they are not doing enough to stop, despite the fact that 2 weeks ago they spoke about they had certain kind of agreement, they will allow, and the people, they had hope on that. Actually, even people in Gaza, the European Union right now, they have an agreement, they'll allow the food to get in. Israel is looking at every Palestinian as a threat. And Gaza Strip become, it's a huge threat. You speak about 2.3 million people living there in very tiny area, 139 square miles, over 16 years of blockade, siege. They are controlling everything. And right now, they are using them as a starvation. And these kind of statement coming from a human rights organization, from relief organization, demanding to stop this genocide and allow this organization to do the work, what to help the people to survive. Israel, of course, they will attack this. And they did. They attacked. We speak about over 500 aid workers. They are already killed in Gaza since the beginning of since October until now. And they don't allow this kind of organization to do the work they do. And we saw the how many times they targeted the food distribution areas. centers in different parts of Gaza Strip by these organizations and the bus, and now not allowing this organization and single them out, accusing them that they are already supporting Hamas or accusing them to they are using the talking point like Hamas. No, it's simple. The whole world right now understand that. I'm speaking about people, not governments. They understand. They are watching and they are witnessing these kind of genocide, witnessing the mass starvation, witnessing how Israel destroyed almost over 36 hospitals, not allowing the people to access water, food, medicine, etc. And this is their own propaganda. And by the way, Kurt, this is not working anymore. Whatever Israel right now will come to say to the world, this is will not... In fact, the people, they understand, they have their own. Even among, I look like, among the solidarity movement with Palestine, how it's expanded all over the world. It's moving everywhere inside the world. The only thing is governments, and they are not doing what they're supposed to do. And this is how I can say the Zionist movement all over the world is still in control to blackmail this government not to and make it difficult for them to take an action to stop this genocide. The only hope for the people right now, for the people in Gaza, is the people in the ground. The people, the listeners, they are listening to you, to me. And the only way for the only hope for the people in Gaza, and this is what not me what I say, this is what the people in Gaza Strip, and the people in Gaza Strip following all the news because they are looking for hope that this is will be end and they will stop. And for us, this is absolutely we the organization, every organization, and many others didn't sign. Like they didn't have the time to sign on this kind of statements. We are committed to do the work what we need to do. We as, like we are committed, if they allowed us to get in, to allow the food to get in and to help the people to survive. As I said, the food is not far from Gaza Strip, only a few miles, like around the corner, like for the people, they can access the milk, the medicine, the clean water, etc. All the life-saving supplies, it's not far from the people inside Gaza. But because Israel, the goal is that to eliminate the people in Gaza Strip, kill as much as they can from the people in Gaza Strip.
Yeah, I don't think it can be denied at this point that Israel's, I mean, it hasn't been deniable for a long time for a lot of us. But even folks with no politics, right, you can't look at what's happening and not understand that Israel's goal is complete annihilation, elimination of the Palestinian people. I have been particularly offended by, agitated by, enraged by the activity with the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. I hate even saying their name. I'm just going to start saying GHF. I have to say the whole thing once for folks that don't know. But the fact that the word humanitarian is in their name is nauseating. This organization is supported by the United States and Israel. They purport, these governments purport, that GHF is there to provide food to Palestinians, aid to Palestinians. But instead, and I think it's clear, it's over 500 people have been murdered trying to get food from the four sites that they are operating, which, by the way, for folks who aren't aware, are located in evacuation zones and places that people have been ordered to leave. So the only way that I know how to describe it, or I can describe it, though I've got a flair for the dramatic, it's true, is that these stations are operating as lure. As bait by Israel, by the IDF, knowing Palestinians are going to bite because they're desperate, right? And so the choice facing them is possible death, or by bomb or gun, or possible starvation because they have to get the food. And I just wanted to give you a second to talk about GHF.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I face very hard time to pronounce their names because when you say humanitarian, it's not connected actually. And this is the way how we are facing a new terminology in this world. The beautiful big bell, humanitarian, but in fact, this is something actually targeting the people and killing the people. And here it's just simply, I can say, they are weaponizing food, medicine, and basic supplies as tools of domination, controlling the civilian life inside Gaza Strip. And by having this kind of organization, and especially design, the way how they design the food distribution, how the people they are needing to enter fences and to get their own food inside these food distribution centers. And they are killed. By the way, there are many reports. The reports actually passed 1,000 people already killed since they start doing this kind of services in their location. And this is something that, as I said in the beginning, that Israel, they don't allow the other tens of organizations or hundreds of organizations, relief organizations, and these kind of relief organizations from United Nations as an international organization like our organization to not to do the work there. And just they allow this kind of organization because they have a military. And this is part of their strategy, military goals to achieve through that, where the people, they will be displaced and living in camps surrounded by fences. This is the plan. Israel, they are not hiding it. Israeli military officers speak about it in a very clear way. And the sad part is not only running by the Israeli. The American, they are involved in that. They are security company. And by the way, I don't want to publish this kind of news right now. One of their employees actually just, I was reading, resigned and left the work because he was protesting, American employees, they're protesting the way how they treated Palestinians inside these kind of food centers. And when we say over 1,000 people already killed there, today alone, actually, according to Al Auda Hospital, they report that 10 people killed inside one of the distribution centers related to this organization. This is something like related, part of the ethnic cleansing policy, part of the genocide, how you control everything to the people they needed to survive. At the same time, you try to kill as much as you can every day for them. And at the same time, illuminate and not allow the other organization to do the work they need to do inside Gaza Strip. And this is just to achieve their goals, where they want to deport or immigrate, I mean, like uproot the people from Gaza, surround them by fences in the displaced camp as they are planning. What they call it sometime at the humanitarian city. This according to the Israeli description, humanitarian city they want to have it in south of Gaza Strip. And after that, what they call it voluntarily, that the people of Gaza, they can leave Gaza voluntarily. They spoke about 750,000 to 800,000 in 1948. They left their villages voluntarily. And this is the Israeli propaganda, the Zionist propaganda you mentioned a few minutes ago. And still it's going on. The policy, it's moving and targeting the people. This is not a humanitarian war. This is a part of the war against the people there. And by the way, this is a war, a crime too. When you urbanize, according to the international law, this is when you urbanize the food and the water and the medicine, this is a war, a crime. Usually that in the other catastrophes, wars in the world, where a humanitarian and relief organization jump in to help and to help the communities that are impacted by these kind of attacks and wars. In this case, no. You cannot be the jailer and the lawyer at the same time. You cannot kill the people and bomb them, destroy their houses. Most over 90% of Gaza Strip already, the percentage back and forth differences. But over, I can say, 80% of Gaza Strip already destroyed. And Gaza Strip destroyed their house, destroyed their hospital, destroyed everything, and not allowed humanitarian work. And you have one organization to relieve them. In the end, this is to serve their own goal and their own strategy as Israelis. And absolutely, this is something like it will be a shame for everyone working in this kind of organization or actually collaborated with them to do this kind of work. Because in fact, it's a trap. The people in Gaza, they call it, it's a trap where people, they can be killed and lose their lives. And as I said, this is a big danger. For us, it's very clear. It's simple what the people, they need to do. As I mentioned before, the only hope that the people in Gaza, they have, which I second the people of Gaza, what they say, the people here in the ground to take the stand, to take an action, and for the solidarity movement all over the world to do the intervention and to stop this genocide. Because We are in the moment, in the edge. We are these kind of numbers we hear about, which it is really, really. Every yes. human being, we value the life of every human being. This yeah. number will be doubled and tripled while the world is silent, not doing enough to stop that.
That's right. Ziad Abbas Shamrock, I've got to let you go because I got to make sure I can bring you back again to have this conversation. The only way I do it is we're on the air, which means I have to raise some money. I want to thank you for your work. I want to thank you for having this conversation with me. I want to thank you for joining us this morning in the midst of what I know is very busy and painful time for you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.